It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right, it is Sunday night. It's 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and it is time for episode 174 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, joined by the man of the hour, Brian. Brian, how are you this week, sir?
I'm feeling a little out of sorts.
Okay.
I don't feel comfortable, feel rushed.
Okay.
But I'm going to power through it.
All right.
Well, I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm not going to show that I'm not 100%.
Okay. That's because you are a professional. Well, then let's move things along then with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Drink of the week.
Slideshow. Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
All right, Brian, what did you bring this week for Drink of the Week? Show us here.
Ooh, very fancy. This may look familiar. This may look like something that I had recently, but this is a new beer that I'm having for the first time. A couple of weeks back, I had the HBCU Hazy IPA from Crown and Hops Brewing. And as a lot of people remember, Crown and Hops Brewing Company created a beers for historically black colleges and universities. Well, this is their HBCU West Coast IPA.
All right.
West Coast. Tupac. Dr. Dre.
Suge Knight.
Suge Knight. This is a West Coast IPA brewed with Citra, El Dorado, Motueka, and Idaho hops, 7% ABV.
Take a sip. I know you liked the Hazy IPA. I'll be interested to hear what your thoughts are on the West Coast.
Much better.
Really?
This is much better. Yes. All right. It's not. I prefer the non-haze.
The non-hazy IPA. All right. Well, that is good.
Ron?
Yes.
Ron, I've got a I hate to sidetrack. I hate to digress. Sure. You know me. I go off on tangents. I know we're in the middle of a bit, but if we can hit a timeout.
Sure.
What are you drinking?
Oh, fancy you should ask. So this week, Brian, a very special drink. I actually I have a mixed drink this week. As you know, there is a very special event coming up this Saturday. Our friend Marty, friend of the podcast, former foster mom of the podcast mascot Paisley, and also my wife's bestie from another testy, her and her fiance John getting hitched this Saturday, having a little celebration party, of which you and I will be in attendance. The society pages already saying party of the year, so just to be on that invite list is something special. Anyway, they have come up with a signature drink for their wedding called the Jardy, and I mix it up here. This is vodka, club soda, grapefruit juice, and a sprig of thyme to kind of mix that all up together. So I've let that steep in there a little bit. So let's take a sip here and see how this is.
Now, I didn't hear you say the word muddle, so there's nothing muddled in there.
Oh, that's actually pretty tasty. Not too sweet. The flavor really meld together.
Now, that also looks hazy.
Well, I think it's because I should have got the pulp-free grapefruit juice. So there's a little bit of pulp in there, I think, causing some haziness. Hold on to me.
You know, Tony Soprano likes some pulp, but not too much pulp.
It's not a lot of pulp, but the pulp is there.
Okay.
Time.
What about the Pope? Is the Pope there?
Pope is around somewhere. I was a little worried about the thyme. I'm not going to lie. I don't usually like herbs in my drinks, but this really pulls it all together.
Well, you know, I mean, speaking, you know, I felt a little rushed today because I didn't have any thyme. But apparently you had time.
Hmm. Well, we will be enjoying that this Saturday at the Jardy party, as it's being affectionately called. If you are lucky enough to have gotten an invite, standard Ron and Brian rules apply. No pictures, no autographs, and no eye contact when you.
No eye contact. Do not look me in the fucking face. I do want to talk to you about wardrobe because I believe the invitation, which, by the way, I never actually received. So I'm just going on the idea that I'm not being punked and I'm not going to show up to an event that you're going to tell me that I don't belong at. Anywho, one would have thought an invitation would have been sent out, but that's okay.
It came to us, actually. It came addressed to my wife and I, plus Brian. So you are technically our plus one.
Awesome. Dress casual was the now I don't really understand casual. I have, like, my casual is literally t-shirt and shorts with sneakers.
Okay.
But then I have you know, full suit, white tie. So I was thinking of going in a three-piece suit.
That may be a bit much. I mean, again, I will leave it to you. I think smart casual is the play.
Which is what?
I mean, you have like long sleeve shirts that are not dress.
I've buttoned down. Sure, I've buttoned down. So what are we talking about? Pants, like regular black business slacks?
You could do. I mean, you could do dark jeans. I mean, she said not to be, you know, too crazy. I mean, we'll be, you know, I'll be in a button down and some khakis possibly, you know.
Maybe I should buy a pair of khakis. I don't own khaki pants.
I don't know how the world would handle Brian in a pair of khakis.
Well, the truth be told is, you know, you're suburban Ron. Ron in the suburbs, khaki pants. Brian in the city, there is no khaki pants in the metropolitan area.
Correct. You know what? I bet you you should reach out to my wife and she would give you better direction.
Is there any way we can color coordinate?
We can certainly work on that. Although she is
color
already
coordinate.
She's purchased a black and white dress. So she already coordinates with 98% of your wardrobe.
Okay.
But she would be the one. Why you ask me for clothing? I don't know. She's the person to ask. You all right?
Don't talk while I'm drinking. Why do I ask? Because I your wife is the kind of person that would ask me to try on three different things and take a photo in front of a mirror to send to her for, and I don't want to go through that.
You're not wrong. You're really not.
Yeah. All right. All right. Let's move on.
All right. Sounds good. Let's get things going with This Week in Racism.
This week in
racism.
All right. We've got a couple pages of racism yet again.
Fuck.
We will keep it to the tight 10 minutes that Brian always requests. So start the clock on racism now. Parents in Park Hill School District in Kansas City, Missouri, are demanding accountability for the student or students behind a racist petition last week that they say was a call to bring back slavery. A district spokeswoman said the matter is considered a, quote, discipline incident, and therefore the amount of information the district may share is limited, including the number of students involved or the exact details of what transpired. A Connecticut woman who appeared to call police over a man recording her is getting tagged as a racist for some of the assumptions she made during the altercation. It's unclear what started the trouble between the man recording and the woman later identified as Jessica Fuentes. The two appeared to be parked next to one another outside of a Bank of America in Norwalk, Connecticut. And when the video started up, Fuentes was already insisting she was calling the cops. Quote, you Mexicans are going to learn your lesson. Keep it up, she told him. You're a Mexican. You're illegal. And that's against the law. Fuentes previously made headlines last December when she and her daughter attacked another woman at the mall over, quote, past personal issues. They were charged with assault, risk of injury to a minor, and breach of peace. A staff member at Mabel Rush Elementary School in Newburgh, Oregon, showed up to work in blackface on September 17th, calling herself Rosa Parks in protest of a vaccine mandate for all school district staff. A fellow staff member at the school identified the woman as Lauren Pefferly, a special education assistant, and said that she had darkened her face with iodine. Pefferly was soon removed from school grounds and placed on administrative leave, with the school district announcing on Friday that she had been fired. Brian, we've got a rare twofer because we're going to stay in Newburgh, Oregon for this next one also, because parents,
what are the odds?
Because parents at Newburgh High School found out that some of their kids were either participating in or targeted by a social media group chat called Slave Trade, which joked about how much participants would pay for their black classmates in a slave auction.
No.
The principal of the school said that students took part in a Snapchat group chat and used photos of students along with racist and homophobic slurs. Some of the posts show pictures of the students, followed by a discussion around their price and private detail of their lives. Participants also commented, "All blacks should die," and "Let's have another Holocaust." A photo circulated on social media this week showing a sign labeled "white" hung above a drinking fountain, which was shared on Snapchat with students at Piedmont High School in Union County, North Carolina. After an investigation, the school's principal sent out a message to parents saying, "During practice, a cheer sign was left just outside the gym on the floor, and it was picked up and placed on a water fountain. We have investigated this matter and concluded that the placement was not intentional." However, there are a number of families who have reached out to the school saying they have a hard time believing the act wasn't intentional. Methodist University announced the suspension of one of their sororities after social media outrage over a racist presentation made by a member featuring black student football players. A Facebook post shows a screenshot of a white woman, a member of Alpha Delta Pi, standing in front of a large screen featuring the faces of four black football players with the words "large nostrils." The presentation was also critical of dreadlock hairstyles and other physical features often associated with African Americans, according to the social media post. The school's president announced that the campus chapter has been suspended indefinitely while an investigation goes on. Brian, if Alpha Delta Pi sounds familiar to you, it might be because the Samford University chapter in Alabama made the news in 2016 for producing T-shirts with a black man eating watermelon and people picking cotton.
No.
Nine Oakland police officers have been disciplined following an independent investigation into some racist and sexist posts shared on social media. Seven of the officers were suspended for up to 25 days without pay, and two others who are now with different law enforcement agencies have had their agencies notified. The investigation was launched in January after the news website Oaklandside reported about an Instagram account called Crime Reduction Team that had memes and images joking about police brutality and reform, rape, and other offensive content. After Oakland Police Department officials were notified, investigators found that a former Oakland police officer who was previously fired in 2020 for misconduct had created the account following his termination. And former and current black women officers filed a class action lawsuit against the Metropolitan Police Department in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. The lawsuit alleges that the women experienced racial and sexual discrimination, intimidation, and a hostile, corrupt workplace. Each plaintiff claims their multiple complaints of harassment, misconduct, and inappropriate behavior were ignored by both their superiors and the department's EEO division. In some instances, the women say they experienced systemic retaliation for speaking up. The women are seeking $100 million in compensatory damages and requesting a special master to oversee and restructure the department's EEO division and personnel practices. And before we wrap up, we've got a couple stories in Racism Rewind.
Racism Rewind.
Jacob Brown, a former Louisiana state trooper who was caught on body camera footage as he struck black motorist Aaron Larry Bowman 18 times with a flashlight, has been indicted by a grand jury for a civil rights violation. Brown was charged with one count of deprivation of rights under color of law for the beating of Bowman, which happened during a traffic stop in May 2019. And finally, a Texas school board has voted to move forward with a process that could end with the firing of James Whitfield, a black principal that became embroiled in controversy over critical race theory allegedly being taught at his school. Whitfield had previously made national news when he claimed that district administrators asked him to remove photos of him and his wife, who is white, from his personal Facebook page. The district publicly revealed for the first time its reasons for the recommendation of non-renewal of his contract. The allegations include deleting emails as a public record, insubordination, failing to cooperate with an internal investigation, and being dishonest with the media. And that, Brian, is the week in racism.
Not a good week.
No.
I feel like we've done better. We've done better. This is not good. There's too much racism.
Way too much racism.
Not happy with this, Ron. Can we take a moment before we get really into the meat of the show to talk about what's going on in our world in about 1 hour and 15 minutes?
We can. What did you have in mind?
Okay, so if you are watching this live right now on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, if you are watching this anytime before Sunday night at 9:30 p.m., a lot's going to happen on our Patreon. We call it After Dark. This is the last Sunday of the month, so we do what we call the pajama party. Some people wear pajamas, not everyone. It's not something that we force. However, what we've got this month is, a lot of people remembered last week, Ron's Beef of the Week, complaining about the Monster Mash cereal not being as readily accessible as he would like it to be. Well, you know what happened? We went out and we all got Monster Mash cereal. We've got, we've got Monster Mash cereal. We're going to be trying out that cereal during our After Dark. It's our pajama party, which means that we are introducing, we are inviting all of our Patreon subscribers at the $10 or higher level to come on to the show and join us. They all received instructions last week to go out, get the cereal. We're going to be trying it. Also, we will be playing our monthly Can You Beat Ron this week. We are the subject of the game will be 1980s movie soundtrack songs. We'll be playing snippets of those songs ranging from 5 to 20 seconds. If you can pick the artist, the song title, or the movie it was in, you will be able to get a point. And if you can beat Ron, we will be making a $25 contribution to the charity of your choice. We could have multiple winners. Last month, what was the contest? Oh, Guess the Crime.
Yes.
We showed some mugshots. It was Guess the Crime, and nobody beat Ron. So this month, we've got a slew of contestants lined up to take on the champion.
I'm sitting right here. So let's see if I can keep this this win streak alive going for number two.
So below you see a link on the banner that's rolling across. Become a Patreon. Go to RonandBrianPodcast.com. Click the link in the upper right-hand corner. Sign on. Log in. Subscribe, and you can join us. Not a lot of money, but you help the podcast keep going.
There you go. And speaking of the meat of the show, Brian, let's get in to our beef of the week.
Ooh. What's this?
I like that segue.
Yeah. Ron and Brian, beef of the week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
This week, what's bothering me is the concessions, the people who are in charge of concessions at Arthur Ashe Tennis Stadium here in Queens, New York. As many of the fans of the podcast know, I attended the AEW recording that they had. There were two live shows on. There were two live shows that they recorded. One was aired immediately on Wednesday. One was recorded and taped for Friday. And so it was a 4-hour show. There was an hour of dark earlier on. So technically the show went from 7 until 12. And the, friend of the podcast, Tony Khan, provided us with some very incredible tickets. I was able, friend of the podcast, Tony Khan, hooked us up with tickets. We were sitting literally, I would say, maybe 30 feet away from the ring. Incredible seats. Thank you, Tony. Really greatly appreciate it. Truly a great show. Some of the best wrestling I've seen in person ever. But my beef is not with the AEW. My beef is not with Tony Khan. My beef is with the people that run the concessions, as they ran out of beer by about, I want to say about 2 hours into the show. So a 5-hour show, they ran out of beer. The lines were incredibly long. The concession staff, I would describe them as this. They were prepared for a polite tennis crowd. the pace of the transactions were abysmal, atrocious. And if there's one thing that we should all know about wrestling fans is that they like their hot dogs, they like their burgers, they like their beer. There was no excuse for running out of these items. I was really hoping to catch a nice buzz by the time, the first show ended, except I found myself completely sober and still had a great time. But the people at that tennis stadium need to pick up their fucking game.
There you go. Speaking of which, are we attending the AEW event in December? Is that confirmed?
We'll have to talk to our friend of Tony Khan and make that happen. I believe the invitation was extended to you.
It was.
So I believe that if you wish to come up for it, absolutely.
I have already made arrangements. I have a hotel room, so I don't have to rush and catch a train back home that night.
Nice. Well, I will just say this to you. The wrestling started at 7 p.m. and went until after 12.
Yeah. I mean, the last train back to Philly leaves at like quarter after 11. So I don't want to feel rushed. I see how you are reacting from being rushed, and I don't want to have that rushed feeling.
I feel much more calmer than I did earlier.
Good. That's
Ron?
Yes. Yes, my friend.
What's bothering you?
So my beef this week, Brian, is with a company called Ashland Halloween Decor. Brian, we are going a little bit all out for decorating our house for Halloween this year.
Of course.
You when you are down this weekend. So we have a number of projectors, spotlights. We have evil clowns hanging from the second floor of our house. We've got a 12-foot inflatable evil tree in the front yard, and so we needed some purple lights because we had purple lights for one side of the house. Needed more. Saw them at our local Michaels. They made them seem like they were these really bright, nice lights. We run over there. We buy a couple strands. I go up. I hang them up, and you can barely even tell they're on, Brian. It's just shoddy, shoddy workmanship. And I'm not.
And did you complain?
I haven't yet. I have to take them down and bring them back for a refund. We have purchased other lights now, but it's like, don't market me bright lights and then give me dim lights. Makes me very upset, man.
Did they know who they were dealing with?
They don't, but they will.
Now, will these lights be up for the Ron and Brian podcast presents Dave Hill Living Room Comedy Show live?
It's from Ron's living room. We should mention that, Brian, because I was just about to say, yes, we will have all of the Halloween decorations up come Friday, October 22nd, when Dave Hill performs live in my living room here in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania. Doors at 7, show at 8 p.m. Asking for $20 per ticket to offset the cost of the entertainment. This is a vaccinated only show, so preferably Moderna or one of the lesser vaccines will be allowed. If you go to our Instagram, you can go to our bio and you will see the links for purchasing tickets, or you can just reach out to me and I can give you my Venmo and we can take care of it that way. Looking forward to that. Yes, sir.
I can't believe you've had a Venmo this whole fucking time and you had me sending money through like Zeal or Zelle or whatever the fuck that thing is.
For some reason, that was how you initially wanted to send me.
No, you told me how to send it. I've never heard of Zelle until you offered it.
I had Zeal. I didn't have Venmo for the longest time. And then the guy that cuts my hair, when the pandemic came into effect, they didn't want cash tips anymore. So they went with they had QR codes for Venmo to tip them. So I got Venmo to tip the guy who styles my lovely, luscious pile of hair on my head.
You don't dye your hair.
Nope, I do not.
How?
And I am older. If you can see the video, I am older than Brian.
Fucking pisses me off.
Brian, what would you like to talk about this week? We got the usuals out of the way. We've got a plethora of commentary, stories. What would you like to start with?
Well, I think we need to start with clearly the booster shots.
Okay.
We have the the CDC, the FDA, one of those guys, they announced that Pfizer is now approved to give a third dose, what they're referred to as a booster shot, to people that received Pfizer before. I didn't really read it, the what their requirements were for the booster shot.
In about a year, you need to get the booster shot now.
Got it. So the idea here is that people who received the Pfizer vaccine, their protection has started to wane. I believe I saw a article earlier that their effective rate of Pfizer has gone down from the mid-90s down to somewhere in like the 60s or 70s percentile, if I'm not correct. So they have filed with the federal government to be given approval to issue booster shots. Those should be starting anytime soon. I believe the approval for 65 and over, people who are immunocompromised are now eligible for the booster shot, as well as the healthcare workers, the frontline workers who are there to protect us.
Actually, healthcare and essential work. So any frontline, anyone essential.
Now, and what I also read earlier was that Johnson & Johnson is now starting to go through the process of getting approval for a second shot of their vaccine, which we knew capped out around 60% in terms of its effective rate, which is probably why the Yankees are not in first place, because they got Johnson & Johnson and like half the team has gotten COVID during the season. But that's neither here nor there. What we're really here talking about is how great Moderna,
the gold standard.
We're here talking about Moderna, how despite the time frame passing, Moderna is still coming in at an effective rate in the high 90s.
I mean, it's like, I'm not even sure how to equate it to something else in life, but it's like you've wrapped yourself in Kevlar of the highest.
Yeah, well, This is how I would describe it.
Okay.
Somebody has handed you a pile of shit. Somebody hands you next a pile of coal. And then somebody hands you a pile of gold. That last pile is the Moderna vaccine. The coal is Pfizer. The shit, Johnson & Johnson.
All right. And Moderna is
the gold standard.
One thing, in addition to all the variants coming around, you know what else is coming back around, Brian? Is
big, Jesus?
Well, that too. Big hospital bills, folks, because the days of full COVID coverage is over. Insurers are restoring deductibles and copays with some patients ending up with big bills. There's a story here about a woman by the name of Jamie Azar. She left a rehab hospital in Tennessee this week with the help of a walker after spending the entire month of August in the ICU and on a ventilator. She had received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in mid-July. Shit vaccine. But tested the virus within 11 days and nearly died. So now she is facing thousands of dollars in medical expenses that she can't afford. So again, you know, for those folks out there not getting vaccinated, you know, not only are you risking getting ill, but you're risking pretty much bankrupting yourself.
But here was a woman that did get vaccinated. True. I mean, she did get Johnson & Johnson.
It's not
shit the vaccine.
But I think 99.8% of all hospitalizations are non-vaccinated folks right now.
What do you think about that? Should people who are hospitalized for COVID now not face the hospital bills that people who had COVID a year ago had waived? And I don't, and I'm not meaning this from a get vaccinated or don't get vaccinated. I just mean it in the sense of, you know, this was a year ago. This was kind of our first, mark into government sponsored healthcare, where the government said we are covering all COVID related healthcare costs. Suddenly, apparently, I mean, it worked. People didn't get bills for a year and got healthy or died. Mm-hmm. Well, But, you know, we didn't come crumbling down as a society. I mean, our military still had tons of money. Our corporations still got lots of tax breaks. The billionaires got wealthier, and apparently we had health care.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, again, you know, vaccinated, unvaccinated aside, like, we showed that, you know, we can survive as a society paying people's health care. And again, I think this is just reemphasizes the horrible conditions of healthcare going on in this country.
So do you feel that unvaccinated people, all right, now I'm going to change the conversation a bit. Do you believe that unvaccinated people who are hospitalized with COVID symptoms, do you believe that they should face medical bills?
That's a slippery slope to go down. Because you could then make that, you could make that argument, should smokers be covered by health insurance? Because, you know, there's so many warnings out there. So if a smoker gets cancer, if a smoker gets lung cancer or lip cancer, should they not be covered? If someone is overweight and they get diabetes, should they not be covered? It's challenging. And it's, I would hope we're better than that as a society. You know, again, people are not getting vaccinated for a variety of reasons. So I don't know that you can necessarily make a blanket statement that, you know, they shouldn't be covered.
Well, speaking for myself, I did not get vaccinated because Dr. Drew told me that I, as a Ashkenazi Jew, did not have the receptors.
I didn't realize that was the type of Jew you were. We've had numerous conversations, but we've never really talked about that.
Do you think I have a clue as to what an Ashkenazi Jew is? I have no idea. I have no idea. I have none whatsoever. I probably have family that if they watch this podcast would immediately be texting me, bringing me up to speed. But I have no idea whatsoever.
On the COVID storyline, we may have to retire our new favorite little short clip here. But this time's gotta stop. Because anti-vaxxer Eric Clapton, despite vowing to never perform at any venue that required a COVID-19 vaccination, he actually did that on Saturday night. He performed at New Orleans Smoothie King Center, which is there a worse name for a arena than Smoothie King Center?
I believe there is. You're forgetting about the Jeffrey Epstein underage rape center in wherever.
It's hard to believe they took that money. So, all right, Smoothie King Center, second worst. But again, all staff and attendees over the age of 12 are required to show proof of their first COVID-19 vaccine shot or present a negative coronavirus test within the last 72 hours. So despite saying he would not perform at those type venues, he wanted that paycheck, and the show went on.
Was this a regular show of his? Was this part of something bigger?
This was a regular show of his. And apparently the fact that there was a test result loophole is why his camp is saying that he in good conscience was able to perform, because it was not a vaccinated only show. You could be non-vaccinated but just show a negative test as well.
Oh, that's horseshit. Fuck him. Fuck Eric Clapton.
It was interesting. That was the first
this show is gonna stop
at the Smoothie King Center in the last 18 months.
And they had Clapton open it?
And they had Clapton open it. But this time's gotta
stop. Right. When was the last time you've been to New Orleans? What are your thoughts on that town?
I have not been to New Orleans in quite a while. I want to say it's been about 20 years. I enjoyed the French Quarter. It's a drinking town. Let's put it that way.
We should set up a Ron and Brian vacation package okay. Where I go down to New Orleans with you and your wife.
Okay. You'll be our third again.
Plus one.
That's true. I'm being told that we need to keep the clip to shut you up. So the people have spoken. The clip stays.
But Janelle spoke. That's it's not that when you say the people have spoken, you are putting a lot of power in one person. And I think the one thing we've learned during this pandemic is that one person should not speak for the masses. We should not let the Donald Trumps speak for the masses. We should not let the Tony Fauci's speak for the masses. We should not let Dr. Bricks speak for the masses. We should not.
This time's gotta stop. I guess if anybody else feels it should stay or go, you can also comment.
Sure.
But more importantly, Brian, I have to ask you, what are you watching?
Oh, this was not a great week in terms of me watching television. I did watch, and I do recommend it for all people who are stand-up fans. Sam Morril, a New York comedian, put together a documentary of doing comedy in the pandemic. Earlier, I think it was earlier this year, he put out a stand-up special that he had recorded himself doing rooftop shows and outdoor shows. This is him interviewing comedians and club owners now starting when indoor shows started to come back. And what the experience was like for stand-up comedians going back in front of crowds when there were capacity limits, when there were plexiglass dividers between comedian and the crowd. He interviews, you know, it's basically New York-based. So if you are an LA comedian, you're not going to relate to this. If you like doing comedy shows in Austin where they never recognize the pandemic, you're not going to understand. But if you really are a New York comedian fan, I thought it was brilliant.
All right. We might have to
Ron,
check that out. Yeah.
What are you watching?
So I did, I binge watched this weekend a new show on Netflix called Squid Game. It is a show out of Korea. And so Ooh. Basically the premise of the show is it's this group of rich people that have built this game space on this island in the middle of nowhere. And they gather up all these people that are like poor, have debt, what have you. And they play games for millions of dollars for the last person standing. The caveat being is if you lose in the game, you get killed in a very violent manner.
So really?
Yeah. So it's
Ooh, that sounds good.
It's intense. It's very violent. It's very bloody, but very well done. There are definitely episodes where you're like literally on edge the entire time because you don't know how this story is going to play out.
How many episodes is this? Because it is a series, correct?
It is a series. It is 9 episodes.
So it's 9 hours. So you and your wife watch 9 hours of this?
Roughly. It's
anywhere. Or just you?
Anywhere from, she watched it as well, anywhere from 50 minutes to an hour per episode. So say a solid 8 hours of viewing. But it was okay. Very good. And I would recommend it.
All right. Maybe I will watch it on the train coming down this weekend.
There you go. Coming down.
By the way, outside of the show, you have to let me know what time you want me to come down.
Well, I need to know what time you can come down, but that's all right. We'll discuss this off the show.
I miss your Musk, and I want to hold you, and I can't wait to see you.
When all this is over, we should get an apartment together.
This has got to stop.
What else do we have here? Oh, Brian, congratulations
yes.
to you, my friend. Another 2-0 week in our NFL locks of the week. You had said, Ron, I am on the Joe Burrow's train this entire season. Cincinnati was getting 6.5 points. You said, I'd take Cincinnati straight up. And sure enough, Cincinnati whoops up on the Steelers 24-10. You were looking at Seattle going into Minnesota. You were like, you know what? I like the Vikes. I don't think Seattle's for real. I'm taking Minnesota plus 2.5. And you were right. Minnesota wins the game outright 30-17. You stay perfect on the season. I mean, I don't know how you do it. It's just impressive. That's all I can say.
Ron, I really am not sure why you are so impressed with how I did when you also came in 2-0 this week. You're now 6-0 for the season. You saw the Cardinals laying 6.5 against the Jaguars. You scoffed and said, take the Cardinals, winning 31-19 earlier, covering that one. Next, you saw the Raiders only laying a point against the Miami Dolphins. Raiders winning 31-28. Ron, you are now 6-0 this year on the NFL. What do you attribute your success to?
I mean, and I have to be a little bit humble. The Raiders going to overtime gave me a little bit of pause. I just think it's just, you know, intellect, knowledge, data, research, just really a deep dive combined with, you know, a smidge of luck here and there. I mean, how do you feel you do it? How do you stay perfect each and every week?
Honestly,
yeah.
I look at the list of games and I look down the list of favorites. I look down the list of underdogs and I listen. What is speaking to me?
That's deep.
Which team looks bold? Which team appears italicized? Which team appears to be a winner? Which team appears
this time's gotta stop?
Anyway, Brian, who are your NFL locks?
All right, let's cut the shit, Ron. I've got shut the fuck up. I've got two winners right here.
All right. Tell
New
me.
York teams are terrible this year. They are going to continue to be. So let's roll through on that gravy train. Titans -7 over the Jets. Lay the points. Saints, Drew Brees. I don't know if he's even quarterbacking anymore. -6.5 over the Giants. Lay the points. New York teams go 0-4 next Sunday. Ron, who do you got?
All right. Next week, we have Kansas City and Philadelphia. Kansas City taking the L today. Eagles aren't that great, but they are getting 8.5. I think they can cover that line. So take the Eagles plus the points. And then Tom Brady going back to New England. He is a 3-point favorite against his old team, the Patriots. I think Tom rebounds from that big loss in New England. I take Tampa Bay -3. Just take the damn points, Brian.
Okay. I mean, listen, I'm not telling people to go out and bet based on our picks.
Bet with your head, not over it.
What I am saying is that we are undefeated for the past 4 years.
I mean, there's a track record there, to say the least.
Sure.
You know who are some people that have been defeated in the past week, Brian?
The Germans.
Nope. Our dead anti-vaxxers of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
So again, we are not celebrating the passing of these anti-vaxxers. We are just more pointing out the irony of the whole situation. So Brian, who do you bring to the table for this week's dead anti-vaxxer of the week?
This week, I believe the one that spoke loudest to me was Joe McCarron. Do we have a photo of him?
Let me see if I can find one.
Fucking A, Ron. Every week we do this. I ask for a photo. I ask for a photo of the person we're talking about, and it. No. This man passed away. He deserves respect.
Okay.
We are featuring him. Can we at least show who he is?
All right.
Who he was. Excuse me. Past tense.
We're getting.
Do we have it?
Talk.
Okay. I'm going to talk. Joe McCarron. He was in, I forgot, where did this take place? This was Colorado. Okay, so Joe McCarron, 75, was featured in a video that went viral this week when he was hospitalized with COVID-19 symptoms. The video features him leaving Letterkenny University Hospital with the help of a friend, Antonio Murillo Graviglio. And it started circulating on social media a little bit over a week ago, September 14th. Graviglio was seen in the video saying, "We are saving Joe's life. Today is a winning day." Oh, excuse me. This took place in Ireland, not Colorado. So this is Irish. This is an Irish anti-vaxxer. So it was, "We are saving Joe's life. We are, this is a winning day for Ireland." He goes on to thank Dr. Dolores Cahill, a prominent figure in Ireland's anti-vaccination movement. In the video, a doctor was shown pleading with McCarron in the video to stay in the hospital, saying, "You have the right to decide what you want to do, but you're barely able to breathe and we want to stay to help you." Graviglio, who was wearing a mask under his chin, tells McCarron, "If you stay here, they are going to fucking kill you, Joe." The doctor says to Mr. McCarron, "I'm very worried for you. I want you to stay. I think what your friend is telling you is something very dangerous. I'm not lying to you. You could die," at which point Joe says, "It's better if I die in my house." Unfortunately, those were some terrible last words, as earlier this week, Joe McCarron passes away at the age of 75 after having refused medical care because he was unvaccinated, didn't believe in COVID-19. Ron, top that.
Well, I will attempt to top that. And let me put a picture up here of my dead anti-vaxxer of the week. This is Kristen Lowry. You can see her from this Facebook profile photo with her frame that says "unmasked, unmuzzled, unvaccinated, unafraid. Together we win." However, she did not win, passing away from COVID-19 on the 15th of September. She was a mother of four from California, proudly anti-vax, particularly the anti-COVID-19 vaccine, died of complications due to the coronavirus, died from pneumonia. She was a figurehead on social media proclaiming her anti-mask and vaccine views that garnered high praise, again, leaving behind four kids. So I think, someone who really pushed the anti-vaxxer agenda now has passed away. And there is a GoFundMe now that's hoping to raise money for her funeral expenses. Now, this is the interesting thing. In the GoFundMe, it says that it describes her as a beautiful and amazing woman. But more than that, she was a phenomenal mother who always, always put her children first. I would argue, if she put her children first, she would have maybe not put herself in a position to die from a curable disease.
Is there any way if I donate like 99 cents to her GoFundMe, is that supporting the wrong cause? Possibly. Or is that sending a message of not really caring?
Possibly. I would also like to point out her fourth child is named Ryan, but it's spelled R-Y-E-N-N, and that bothers me.
Yes. Oh, no, no. That is some
McKenna, Ella, and Ryan, R-Y-E-N-N.
She does have the glasses, so she's got that like dirty librarian thing going on.
Oh, no, this is a woman who, were she not a married mother of four, I would definitely have put her in the running for your third wife.
Sure, sure.
That mix of librarian, sexy, and crazy, really, I think...
Just the right mix. She's in my sweet spot. Well, she was. Let's put it like past tense. I think it's important that we use past tense. She was in my sweet spot because she is no longer with us because she refused to get vaccinated. People, we are not celebrating death here. We are fans of life. Do what you need to do to stay alive. There's no 100% guarantee on absolutely anything in this world. I'm a gambler. So I believe in statistics. I believe in likelihoods. I believe in probability. And I believe in basing my life actions upon those probabilities. The exceptions of marriages 1 and 2. But what I'd like to say is just the fact that, yes, there are outliers in every single situation. But listen to experience, listen to data sets, and follow it.
Let's point out, I'd like to point out a couple of comments in the chat. Billy saying, "unmasked, unmuzzled, unvaccinated, unafraid, unalive." I like that one.
And, that's pretty good.
Unable to breathe. Also,
oh, that's a good one.
This so, has gotta stop. So there you have it. That's our dead anti-vaxxer.
Yeah.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
A lot of Ron, why I play that twice? It's because it's Matt's favorite clip that he ever did, and since we don't technically pay him, I like to throw him a bone by playing that.
Matt Beaker is one of the best unpaid producers in the business. Ron, what is taking place in 40 minutes? Educate the people.
We are coming up on After Dark for our Patreon subscribers at 9:30, like Brian mentioned earlier. Just go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. Find out how you can subscribe and join us live tonight. It is the After Dark pajama party. We will be eating Monster Mash. We will be playing Can You Beat Ron? This would be a perfect time for you to join and get the link in time to join us at 9:30. A couple people that will not be able to join the After Dark tonight is a mother and her 2-year-old son who passed away when they fell 6 stories from the San Diego Padres baseball park, Petco Park, on Saturday. And cops are saying the incident, quote, appears to be suspicious. There's your Monster Mash. Fans were going into Petco Park on Saturday, getting ready for the 4:15 game when the as-of-yet unidentified 40-year-old mother and child fell off the stadium's dining concourse around 3:50 p.m.
So what you're saying is that the police believe that they brought this, that this guy brought his wife and kid to the to a baseball park and then killed him?
So it is hard to say. A eyewitness said that it looked like the little boy fell first and that the mother went over trying to grab onto him. Emergency responders performed CPR on both for 20 minutes before being pronounced dead at the scene. But yes, the fatal incident appeared to be suspicious, according to police, but they do not know the circumstances surrounding it. They do not know yet if it was accidental or intentional.
You know what the worst part is? The worst part is dying for a Padres game.
Yeah. I mean, if you were at Yankee Stadium, I mean, there might be some value there, but yes, for the Padres, and I'm sorry, I got to point in another. Billy's asking if Eric Clapton was the father. And that right there, that is a solid comment. That's the kind of thing you can expect all night at After Dark.
No, 9:30. No, this has got to stop. You cannot make Eric Clapton jokes. That is not appropriate. Shame on you, William Esquire.
What other terrible do we have here? So this is, and since you terrible. Are a New Yorker, Brian, we'll get into this with you. So there is a story on the Daily Dot. It is it's a TikTok video. So a woman carrying a magazine and a coat shoves her way onto a packed New York City subway car. She's met with some pushback from somebody on the train who does the best to push this woman out. Half the woman's body is outside the train when the door is shut, but she ultimately manages to force her way inside. Brian,
do we have the video? Do we have the video?
Of course we don't have the video, Brian, because
Matt. Okay, so I'm going to talk while you pull the video up. I'm going to talk while you have the video up. So the beautiful thing is this, is the fact that New York City has always, when it comes to its subway system, there are unspoken, unverbal rules, which is the fact that if you can get on the train, you do. But the one thing you do not do is fuck up other people's commute. We've all, New Yorkers, we've all stuck our hand in the door as it was closing. We've all shoved our foot in as the doors were closing in hopes. Now, you can do that. There is a window. There's a 1 to 3 second window. You are allowed to stop the process. If you can't get on, you must abandon. You must give up hope. You have to let the train go. People need to get where they are going, because the one thing you definitely do not want to do is piss off New Yorkers who are on their way to somewhere. Here's the video. Let's watch it. All right. To the videotape.
There she is. She kind of
smudged
out. Almost cut in half. She takes the door in the crotch, pops back open, and she gets in. That is a tightly packed subway car right there.
I would not have done what she did. However, there is a part of me that respects her hustle. That is a jam-packed subway crowd. I'd like to point out to people, no social distancing on that subway car. Shameful. But that is what New York City subways are like now, people. It is great. It is back to where it was pre-pandemic. We don't give a fuck.
And I think, and I know we were saving this for the After Dark, but maybe we'll tease everybody a little bit and just say, you can tell New York City is back because illegal massage parlors outnumber Starbucks 2-1 in New York.
That's right. That's right. We're going to talk about it. So there is a neighborhood in Brooklyn by the courts where I guess it's considered Brooklyn Heights or whatnot, where there is an insane number of massage parlors. Now, I have never been to a massage parlor. I'm too afraid to go. Honest truth, that is not something that I'm proud to admit. But I know that I've spoken to guys who have been to them and whatnot. I kind of feel like during a pandemic, it's not the right thing to do. Like, are you wearing a mask? Are you not wearing a mask? Is the masseuse wearing a mask? I'd love to find out, like, what the heck is, an Asian massage parlor doing during a pandemic? How are they staying in business?
So are you just saying that because they're Asian, it's related to the pandemic somehow?
Oh, God, no. No. I just mean that that is the predominant ethnicity of many of the massage parlors in New York City.
All right. Well, I mean, it feels like a microaggression, but okay.
It did, and now I feel terrible for it.
A Los Angeles mother and daughter have been charged with allegedly murdering a wannabe adult film star with an illegal butt lift surgery that resulted in her death. Libby Adame, 51, and Alicia Galaz, 23, were arrested in connection with the death of Carissa Rajpal, a 26-year-old South African actress who had just moved to L.A.
The Brazilian butt lift thing, I don't get it. I don't understand the women that are going out all out for these surgeries.
We had an issue in Philly. We had a woman doing these surgeries at a airport hotel and literally injecting just random fluids into women's asses and then sealing it up with crazy glue.
These women were using caulk.
What?
Like the caulk that you use to seal off your baseboards, which I remember. If we remember, weren't you putting in baseboards in your office there? No, it wasn't baseboards. Stop. Hold on. Let me see. It was the white, shit.
The word
I don't remember the name of it.
The word you're thinking of is wainscoting. And it enrages you every single time I say that word. Wainscoting.
It's so pretentious.
You see, I mean, right. Oh, hold on. I got to do. Like right there, you can see a little bit of the
wainscoting
next to the curtain there.
And you had to put that whole thing up. You did a lot of home repairs during the pandemic, didn't you?
I got some work done. I got some work done. No two ways around it.
It was ironic. Slow down for a second. Let's roll this back a little bit. You weren't getting a lot of work done because you were unemployed. So let's be brutally honest. During the pandemic, you were not getting a lot of work done. You were collecting unemployment. Fair. You were living off the government, off the tax-paying citizens of the state of Pennsylvania.
That is true. That is very, very true. Thank you for pointing that out and not
you leech. You leech.
What other stories do we have here? Oh, Elvira released a tell-all book. And as it turns out, she has been in a relationship with a woman for the past 19 years.
That's wonderful.
Cassandra Peterson, now 70 years old, looks amazing for 70.
Do we have a photo of her?
Why are you always asking for photos?
Okay, Ron, maybe, and I would say this to you after the show, but I keep forgetting to, maybe during the week we create a folder where you save the videos and you save the photos so that you can pull them up during the show. Because we're trying to drive traffic from the audio portion of the show to the visual. There's a whole reason why we are paying for this service, which is why your Patreon money, your subscriptions helps, because it does offset some of these costs that Ron and I are going out of pocket for.
Are we going out of pocket? Are you taking money from me? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm going out of my pocket.
Oh, okay, good.
You're going out of your pocket. The more anyway, more.
Here is
look at her,
Peterson, at age 70. I mean, come on,
she has aged well. I don't see a lot of work done. I've seen, you know, there's this skin over here seems to be very firm. I'm imagining some Botox or whatnot. But you want to know something? Still a stunning woman, stunning. Yeah. She and has zero interest in me sexually. I'm okay with that. I'm happy for her.
She also claims that late basketball star Wilt Chamberlain forced oral sex on her.
Meaning he performed it on her, or he forced her to perform on him?
Who she claimed forced her to do it to him.
Okay. Well, didn't he sleep with 26,000 women?
Claimed 20,000 women in his lifetime.
Which I think is, we acknowledge, mathematically almost impossible.
Almost impossible.
I mean, there's a slight chance he's being honest there, but for the most part, I think we can all agree that that's not a true depiction of his history.
Yeah, I can't imagine. We lost some people this week, Brian. Celebrity obituaries time. Brian, talk about some of the folks we lost. I believe Anthony... AJ Anderson was one of them.
Who the fuck is that?
AJ Johnson, excuse me. He was
Ron. People are passing away and you're mocking their last name?
I'm not mocking. I'm just I'm incorrectly
stating. Star of House Party. He was one of the featured actors on Friday.
So you do know who he is. This is why
I got the headline right here. I never watched either of those movies.
No, why not?
I didn't. I went through a long period of time where I found comedies not funny, where I avoided anything that was supposedly comedic because I just felt that it was not it didn't speak to my level. I was a snob. I'm not going to lie. Where, okay. You know, I felt that, you know, like my sense of humor was higher than what these movies were going for and that the jokes were stupid. So I avoided them. It wasn't until Old School that I gave a comedy a shot and I realized how good it was.
All right. Well, I mean, that shows growth as an individual. And I think that's
sure. Sure. So poor Anthony Johnson, 55, passed away. But not the only celebrity death we had this week.
Nope. We also, at the age of 57, we lost Willie Garson, one of the actors from Sex in the City and the show White Collar, passing away at the age of 57 from pancreatic cancer.
Now, this guy looked familiar to me. I mean, I've never seen an episode of Sex in the City, so I have no idea who the heck he was. But he looks very familiar that I couldn't tell you what the heck he was in that I am familiar with. I'm on his IMDb page right now, and I'm going back to 2012, and I still do not have anything that I am familiar with that he was in.
I mean, I would have to say his most mainstream role was in the TV show Sex in the City, as well as the movies. Ironically enough, he played... Sarah Jessica Parker's gay friend on the show, but he himself was not gay, and that, as you know, would not fly in today's day and age.
talk about acting chops. He was able to play somewhat of a sexual orientation, despite the fact that he was not of that persuasion. What a testament to his acting skills.
He leaves behind an adopted son, Nathan, and as well survived by brother and sister, nieces and nephews. Also was a voice actor on Big Mouth, apparently, but not certain which character he played.
He played Lee Harvey Oswald on Quantum Leap. He was also on Mr. Belvedere. I mean, literally, I'm back to 1990 and I still cannot remember anything that he's ever been in. He was on Family Ties. He was on Cheers. And I've recognized him, but I don't think I've ever seen him act.
All right.
I've seen you act better than Willie Garston.
And
fuck him.
Also passing away, Melvin Van Peebles, the man many refer to as the godfather of black film, passed away at the age of 89. So he was a man who didn't like the lack of realistic on-screen portrayals of black people. So he ended up making his own movies and became a legend because of it.
I saw a movie that he had done called Watermelon Man.
And how was it?
Even back when I saw it, it made me uncomfortable. I mean, it's a 1970s comedy directed by him. If I'm not correct, it's about a white man who it's the story of an extremely bigoted white insurance salesman from the 1960s who wakes up one morning to find out that he has become black. I remember it making me very uncomfortable. Like he was not a shy black activist, Melvin Van Peebles. So this movie was meant to make a white people uncomfortable, and watching it as a high school kid, I was very uncomfortable watching it. Like you could see that there, it was coming from a place of, I want to educate the people. And I was watching it, realizing that I was the type of person that he was speaking to in that movie. Opened my eyes to a lot of things. Melvin Van Peebles, father of Mario Van Peebles, star of the movie New Jack Hustler.
There you go. One of his early films.
Sorry, New Jack City. New Jack Hustler was the song by Ice-T that was on his album Original Gangster.
One of his earlier films in 1971, Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song. He funded it as well as getting a $50,000 loan from one Mr. Bill Cosby. A little interesting fact there. However, that movie would end up grossing $15 million.
Really?
Yeah. Big big box office back in 1971.
All right. Good for him. Good for him. You know what? I would say that the world was a better place with him with us as opposed to away from us. But I feel like we've hit the end of the line on this podcast.
Pretty much.
And there's only one thing left for people to do.
And what's that, Brian? What is that?
Click that fucking link that's scrolling down. Go to that URL, ronandbrianpodcast.com. Click on the link in the upper right-hand corner that says become a Patreon. Subscribe to our Patreon at the $10 or more level, and you will be able to join us every Sunday night after we do this podcast. We're just moving on. We are not closing down shop. For those people that are listening right now, you're done. You're not going to hear anymore. For those people that are watching live on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, you're done after we are done. For the Patreon subscribers, for the people who have opened up their wallets to help support the functions of this podcast, you are going to be joining us in 22 minutes. It is our monthly pajama party. For $10 or more, you get to join us. We are going to be eating cereal.
Monster Mash, my friends. Monster Mash.
It was the Monster Mash. We are going to be playing a game. Can you beat Ron? We do it once a month. Once a month, we play a game called Can You Beat Ron? Because Ron is so full of just success, of winning, of a tradition of excellence. He has got Moderna,
the gold standard,
flowing through his veins. The man is an example of excellence, and he is going to be taking on all challengers today. Can you beat Run? 1980s movie soundtracks. We're going to play a clip, and you are going to be able to, well, not you, but all the people who are joining our Patreon who have decided to support the show are going to be John. If they beat Ron, we will be making a $25 charitable donation to the entity of their choice, even if it is something that we don't support.
Yes, exactly. All right. So let's, Brian, let's you and me go get ready for the After Dark. Patreon folks, you get ready for the After Dark. Regular podcast listeners, you've got a choice to make. Subscribe to the Patreon or wait till next week for more Ron and Brian entertainment. Brian, anything else before we roll on out?
Love you, sir.
Love you, too. And I'll see you Saturday. I'll see Patreon folks in about 20 minutes. Everyone else, we will see you next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.